When I first came to Pennsylvania as just a young driver, I'd never been in the state of Pennsylvania. But one thing I knew about Pennsylvania, there were snakes everywhere. In New York, we did not have rattlesnakes. We did not have copperheads. We didn't have those things. But I heard all my life, in Pennsylvania, they've got rattlesnakes. In fact, if you were to drive on Route 80 today and come to Snowshoe on Route 80, there's a sign up, beware of rattlesnakes. And so when I got out of the car that first time at a rest area as an 18-year-old, I'm walking like this, looking for snakes, because surely they're everywhere. We laugh at it today because we know how ridiculous that was. How many of you know that most of our fears are just that ridiculous? We're afraid so many times of something that's not there. Stopping to realize that God cares. One day, many, many years after that, I'm in New Mexico visiting the cliff-dwelling places. And as I'm walking down this stone, my foot comes down like this. And I pulled back. And there was a rattlesnake lying there on the ground. And what amazed me most was, I wasn't afraid. My foot came back and I said, I'm glad I didn't step on that guy. And that's all it amounted to. Do you realize so often our fears really don't matter to as much as we think they do? Nobody today, basically around the world, understands fear better than they do right now. Fear is everywhere. People are living in fear. And someone made the statement to an Amishman, how come you Amish don't have this problem with the COVID? They said, we don't have TV. Think about that one for a moment. Just realize so many of our fears are being exacerbated louder and louder and louder. And we're told moment by moment by moment, you need to be afraid. Let me tell you what Jesus says and what the Word of God says. The Word of God tells us in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Did you hear that? If you've got a spirit of fear, it didn't come from God. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and listen to this one, of a sound mind. We are being inundated constantly with, you must be afraid, you must be afraid. That doesn't mean that we're not to be cautious. I walk up around Mahaffey. I could never have done that in the old days when I knew there were rattlesnakes everywhere. And let me tell you, up in the mountains of Mahaffey, there are rattlesnakes and there are copperheads and they're there. But I learned someplace along the line, if you want to enjoy life, you can't live it in fear. And yes, I walked through some areas that probably there was problems. I remember being in a place holding a revival meeting someplace up in the mountains of Pennsylvania. And I said to the person who was helping us set up our trailer, I said, are there rattlesnakes around? He said, no, no rattlesnakes around here. I said, oh, good, because I had to go through this grassy area to where I plugged in the trailer. And I'm back and forth through that. And I walked up to the little store I walked in, and here's this big cage full of rattlesnakes. I said, where do they come from? Oh, they're all over the place. Father, help us to understand that caution does not need to be led by fear. That, Lord, you have not given us the spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Holy Spirit, will you open to us the Word of God today, I pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 10. Yesterday as I was praying, and all of a sudden this scripture just jumped out at me. I want you to know it. You probably have memorized it. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. You like that? Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up with my righteous right hand. Wow, what a promise. But promises are of no value if we don't use them, if we don't believe them, and if we don't live with them. Can I tell you what God usually has to say to mankind over and over and over and over again is, don't be afraid. He says it over and over and over. Whenever an angel appears, the first words out of the angel's mouth is, don't be afraid. Why? Because, I just saw an angel. Woo, scared me. He says, no, wait, don't be afraid. Fear not. Almost always when an angel appears, that's the first words out of their mouth. Don't be afraid. Can I tell you something? God is with you. He says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Oh, I love that, because as we get closer and closer to the end of the age, there are more and more things to be afraid of. Are you aware of that? With Antichrist and his kingdom coming, moving toward, there's more and more to be afraid. The Lord says, I am with you even to the end of the age. You do not have to fear. I will walk with you. I will talk with you. I will tell you, you are my own. I love you. I want to be all in all to you. The Spirit of God has been speaking this to my heart. He's saying, don't live in fear. Now, why does God have to tell us not to fear? Because we're afraid, right? Don't be afraid. I'm a horseman, and I love horses. But one day, a friend of mine said, Dusty has turned mean. I says, he threw somebody the other day. I said, he didn't know how to ride. That's why he threw him. So I went out in the pasture to catch him. Dusty and I always played games when it came to catching him. He'd let me get almost to him, and then he'd take off, run. So I knew a trick. I laid right down on the ground, face to the ground, my hands out like this. Next thing, Dusty's sniffing around my hand, and I grabbed his halter, and he reared up and lifted me right to my feet. And I laughed and took him down to the barn and saddled him up, got on his back, had no fear whatsoever. It just was, I'm going to ride this horse. And I stood there. In fact, I said, well, you're not doing anything. And I just sort of touched him with my heel, and he exploded. He began kissing his hind feet. And if you know anything about the anatomy of a horse and his hind feet and his mouth together, you're way up there someplace. And he came down, and his head would fly up, and I swatted him. Cut that out, Dusty, cut it out. And he bucked, and I'm right on a pavement. And that's no place where you want to get thrown off. And he's bucking, and nobody has a camera. And I'm putting on the best rodeo show I've ever done in my whole life. And the next thing you know, he came down, and he came straight up. And then I realized he's going over backwards. And I pushed myself. I hit the road first. He landed on top of my leg. Fortunately, the saddle did not hit me in the gut. And he jumped to his feet. I jumped to my feet. I lunged for him. And he went over backwards again and landed in the ditch. And I got him out of the ditch. Called my buddy and I said, come on down here. He went down. I took him out on a plowed field. If you're going to go down, much better to go on a plowed field than on pavement. I got on his back and I said, okay, let go of him. I had no fear whatsoever. He let go of him. And he immediately threw himself over backwards again. And I was off, of course, because I knew it was coming. I didn't get hurt at all, but my whole confidence just drained out of me. And suddenly I was afraid. And that fear is instantly telegraphed to a horse. He knows it. Took him down, and we worked with him, took him to the ranch, and we got him so that he could be ridden again. And I'm sitting on that fence, and I'm saying,
you got to ride that horse. I said, I'm not riding that horse. You got to ride that. I said, I'm not riding that horse. You'll never ride again if you don't. I'm having this conversation with myself, you know. You'll never ride again if you don't. I don't care. I'm never riding that horse. And said, you got to ride that horse. And finally, they're taking him out to the barn. I said, bring him here. I said, I've got to ride that horse. You know, I rode him. And that was many years ago. And I rode until my hips would no longer let me ride. And I would still ride if I could. But that fear that came in was something that was going to be a problem for me the rest of my horse life. If a horse started acting up, all of a sudden I would tighten up. And I had to think, Dick, you're giving that horse the understanding that you're afraid. Now relax. And I would relax and I'd feel the horse relax. It's just one of those things. When Becky and I got married, I said, you need to learn how to ride. And she said, okay, dutiful wife. And so I'm out riding with my friend Tom, and I'm on my big Palomino that looked just like Roy Rogers' Tricker. You're the only crowd I can tell that to. Tell the teenagers. Teenagers have no idea who Roy Rogers was, no idea who Tricker was. But I was on, and Tom was in front of me on his horse. I'm on King, and we're going along, and all of a sudden, there's a mound of dirt that wasn't there before, and Ben, the horse in front of me, he has a nervous breakdown. And horses, if you know anything about horses, if one's going to have a nervous breakdown, they're all going to have one. No, they're not going to be cheated, because if you're afraid of something, then I'm afraid of it. And so the next thing I knew, King whirled around and jumped, and I went out of the saddle, and when I got stopped, one foot's in the stirrup, one foot's on top of the saddle, and I'm hanging out here in space. And I thought, if this was Becky, she'd be on the ground. And I settled back in. I went home. I said, I don't think you want to ride. And I think she was very happy not to. But you see, fear is a palpable thing. It moves not only through you, but it affects other people. When you're afraid, other people are afraid. When you're afraid, animals can sense that fear. It's a very real thing that can be very destructive. It was intended by the Lord to be something to protect us, but not to control us. When you see something that is danger, your adrenaline goes through you and it moves you out of the area. There's a thing that really moves you away from the thing that can harm you, but it is not meant than to continue with you and to continue and to continue and to control your life. The Lord says, fear thou not. Don't be afraid, because I am with you. The coronavirus, oh. God says, I'm with you. I'm with you. Don't be afraid. Does it mean not to be cautious? No. But it means, don't let it control your life. Don't let it keep you from enjoying what God has put out there for you to enjoy. There is still sunshine that is to be enjoyed. There is still friends that are to be enjoyed. There's still ministry to go on. And thank the Lord, the devil thought he was going to destroy the ministry through this. Can I tell you? God had a plan all along. All along, God had a plan. I look back at our church at Faith. 50 years ago, somebody planted two rows of big maple trees all along our driveway. 50 years ago. And somebody said, well, why did they do that? Well, they did it because they thought it would look good. God had them plan it because all summer long, we sat under those trees and had church. All summer long. Never had a bad Sunday that we couldn't be out there. The shade was there. And I looked and I said, God, you knew this was coming all along. God brought Pastor Andy to our church. I am not a techie guy. He is. And he's learned and is continually learning. And we've been able to broadcast Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, plus all kinds of devotionals. We are reaching more people than ever before. You're broadcasting and you're reaching more people outside than you are inside, because God says, I've got this under my control.
Don't live in fear. I am with you. I will strengthen you. I will give you the courage you need. You remember when Joshua hears these words. Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. That had to be a terrifying moment. As an ambulance driver, I would look over at who was with me in the ambulance. And if I saw Jack Burmeister was there, I relaxed because he knew more than I did. But if I looked over there and I saw somebody that didn't know as much as I did, I tightened right up with fear. I thought, wow, it all rides on me. You know, we get that feeling sometimes that it all rides on us and we tighten up. The Lord says, it isn't all riding on you. I'm here. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you understanding. I'm going to help you in the situation you're in. Fear not. Here's Joshua. Moses, my servant, is dead. He has been with Moses all through the whole journey that they've made across the wilderness. He has stood with Moses. He has seen the power of God through Moses. But now Moses is dead. And now it's up to him. And what does God have to say to him? Be strong and of a good courage. Why did he have to say that? Because Joshua was afraid. You don't tell somebody, now don't be afraid if they're not afraid. You tell them when they're afraid, right? My grandmother had this great big farmhouse, my grandparents, and I love that. To this day, it's what I think of when I think of home. But grandma would take me upstairs to bed at night when I was a little boy because we had one bedroom that was right above the kitchen, and the stovepipe went through there, and it made that room warm. And grandma would go up, and she'd open the attic door, and she'd shine the light up the stairs. Then she would come through and she'd open this door and she'd shine the light in there. Then she'd open that door and she'd shine the light in there. Then she'd open my door and she'd say, you're all right. Well, I was so psyched up by what she was looking for in all those closed doors that I'm in bed and I'm terrified. I thought, Grandma, don't do that to a kid. But isn't that what's happening today? They're shining the lights. They're saying, oh, look at that. Oh, there's danger. Oh, there's danger. Oh, there's danger. And everybody is terrified. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. Be not dismayed. You know what? That means don't be distressed over this. Relax. Relax. I'm on King one day. He's all of a sudden, he's just acting up. Not quite bucking, but wanting to. And he's just so nervous. And I think, what in the world is wrong with this horse? And then all of a sudden I thought, you're afraid. You think you're going to get thrown. Relax. As soon as I relaxed, the fear went out of King. And we had a nice ride. You see, fear moves from one to another to another to another. And you say, well, aren't we supposed to be careful? Yes, we're supposed to be careful. I don't put my hand in a hole that I just saw a rattlesnake go down in. That would be foolish. But I'm not afraid of the hole. I just stay out of the hole. Are you with me? That time in New Mexico, that rattlesnake went from under 6 inches under my foot. He went down and down in a hole. Well, I didn't go, here, I'm going to pull you out by the tail. That would have been stupid. I just stayed away from the hole. And I went on enjoying the cliff dwellings. How many times we're losing our joy because of the fear that we are accepting, we're gathering it. You know, here's Abraham. He's still Abram. He has just gone and rescued his nephew Lot. Lot was such a disappointment to him. Abram doesn't have any children. And so
Lot is his pride and joy. He's that nephew that's going to be able to inherit everything, but then things don't work out, and the next thing you know, Lot goes down, and he moves down into Sodom, and then they're kidnapped and taken away, and Abram goes and he rescues them, and he comes back, and the Lord says to Abram in Genesis chapter 15, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto me, after he had just rescued Lot. Said the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. But Abram is depressed. And when the Lord says, don't be afraid, I am your exceeding great reward. And he says, but God, I don't have any children. I don't have any children. And this Eliezer that was a slave born in my house, he's going to be my heir. I don't have sons. I wanted sons, God. The Lord says, come here. Took him outside of the tent. It's nighttime. And God says, look up. I mean, you know, when you're afraid, you're usually looking down. Look up. Look up. And you look up, and he says, what do you see, Abram? I see stars, Lord, lots and lots of stars. He says, count them. Count them, Lord. There's too many to count. Just count them. Lord, there's too many to count. Lord, there's just stars everywhere. He says, Abram, your seed is going to be like the stars of heaven, more than you can number. And as soon as God got his eyes up and got him counting the stars, his faith began to grow. You want your faith to grow? You got to look up. You got to look up. You got to start counting the stars. Start counting your blessing. Start understanding, wow, God is doing more in this that for me than against me. God is working some miracles here. Things are happening here. Look up and begin to count the stars, because those are the blessings that God has in store for you. And God wants to do great and mighty things. Last Sunday, I preached a message on this, that God will do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Now, can you ask for things? I'm a guy that likes to go to Goodwill and St. Vincent de Paul, and God puts things there for me. He really does. And one day I'm going to be preaching on the fact that we have this treasure in jars of clay that Paul talks about. And I said, Lord, I need a jar of clay. And I'm going to go down to St. Vincent de Paul. Will you please put one there for me? I walked into St. Vincent de Paul, walked back to that certain aisle. There it sat. I picked it up. I have it sitting right now in my office. There it was, exactly what I wanted. I said, thank you, Lord. I never saw one there before. I've never seen one there since. But it was there. You see, I've seen that happen so many, many, many times. God is continually wanting to pour blessings on you. Open your heart to receive the blessings, and you can't do it. You can't let your faith grow if your fear is overcoming everything else. Do away with your fear. God, you said you'd be with me. Well, I could die with this. Yeah, I could too. But I'm not going to die till I die. I'm not going to live a living death. Are you with me on that? And look at what happens if you die. Stephen says, it's Jesus. They take him out to stone him. And as they're getting ready and the stones are flying, what does Stephen say? Look, I see Jesus, and he's standing at the right hand of the Father. Wow, what a homecoming that was. What an amazing victory that was as he went into the presence of Jesus. Oh, you say, does every believer get that kind of a homecoming? I don't know. But I believe every martyr does. And I believe every saint gets a homecoming that's well worth it. I think about dear Mabel. What a homecoming she must have had. What a homecoming. With Jesus there to meet her. And there's Dad and family all gathering in, saying, we've just been waiting for you to come home. We struggle against death when life follows death. Sometimes we live in death, 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 and wonder, is there any life? Yes, there's life. So if I die with this, rejoice with me. Rejoice with me. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not foolish, but I'm not afraid. This I know. The Lord says, I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. In the midst of whatever you're going through, I will be there. I will comfort you. I will strengthen you. I will give you grace for everything you need. Oh, it is. Hear this word from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. It's so powerful. Ephesians 3, verse 20. Now unto him who is able. Are you with me? He's able. He's able. It means he can do it. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above. Now, he didn't say, now unto God who is able to meet your need. He says, now unto God who is able to exceed, go beyond, abundantly above that. He is able to do exceeding abundantly and above that. Does that tell you anything? It tells me there's nothing God can't do. He can do anything. He can do everything. He'll do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You think about something you want, ask God for it. Friday night, I'm sitting at home. It's got dark, and I don't like to drive after dark. Do you? Some of you don't. Some of you don't care. I don't really like to. But I got on my phone, and I looked on Marketplace, and it said there was a piano, a Yamaha 505 piano for sale for $50. And I'd been asking the Lord for a keyboard. I'd bought one, spent way over that, got it, didn't like it, sent it back. And I said, Lord, I'd like one. And all of a sudden, there it is. It's been online for 16 minutes for $50. It's not going to last. I gave a call. It was down in Wexford. I said, can I come and see it? They said, sure. So I got in the car, and I put my GPS on, and I made my way down, stopped at this beautiful home. These people met me. They took me in, and there it sat. And it was exactly what I wanted. And I don't like weighted keys. Most pianists want weighted keys. I don't like weighted keys. I like the organ feel to a piano. And lo and behold, that's what it had. And I said, thank you, Lord. I reached for my wallet, and she said, no, no, I want you to have this. And I said, no. She said, I want you to have it. I want it to bless you. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. God says, whatever you want, I'm here. I'm here. I will meet your need. My God shall supply all of your need. According to what? His riches. Now, if you're going to get all your needs met by my riches, you're not going to get much. But if you're getting it according to God's riches, there's no limit. God says, I can do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or even imagine. I can do it. So open up your heart. Stop living in fear and say, Lord, I'm going to live in faith. You see, God has not given us the spirit of fear. If you've been living with a spirit of fear, it's robbing you. It's stealing from you. Doesn't mean throw caution to the winds. Not what it means. It simply means you don't have to be afraid. The Lord says, I'm with you. I'm with you. I got a hold of your hand. I'm holding you up with my righteous right hand. He said, I'm strengthening you. I'm giving you everything you need day by day by day. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray. Help us to understand. Help us to really understand that we don't have to be afraid. Being cautious is one thing. We don't put our hand down the hole of the rattlesnake. But we're not afraid of it because it's in its hole. No matter what happens, you will be there with the answer. Help us to see that in Christ's name. Amen. In closing, let me give you this verse, because I love it. It's found in the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 32. Fear not, little flock. He's talking to us. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You are children of the King. Let's live like children of the King. Amen. God bless you.